This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you in for a new week, a busy week. Of course, the baseball postseason starting tomorrow. Everything you need to know over at VSIN.com with Adam Burke. And Burke will join us tomorrow on the show. But it is a football Monday. Of course, you conclude week four tonight, MetLife. This number just jumped as we welcome you in to 2.5. So it was sitting mostly two early today, but Seattle at the Giants tonight, Monday Night Football, 2.5 with Seattle laying it over at DraftKings, 46.5 on the total, which has come down a half a tick, was sitting 47. So we'll get to that and more. I've got a theme coming out of week four and concluding tonight, and that is quarterback questions. And some of those teams, I've got 10 teams coming out of yesterday that not only have questions at the quarterback position as we sit here today on October 2nd, but I think some questions to answer the rest of the year heading into next season. So 10 teams, that'll be a theme as we open up the show. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The dangerous duo there, downtown Los Angeles, Fremont Street at the D, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. We say hi first to Amal. Hi, Amal. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Looking forward to getting in your 10 quarterbacks. Should be very intriguing. And I'll tell you right now, there's a team that played across the pond. They should be looking to acquire a quarterback pretty quickly.
The Riddler. And yeah. Speaking of the Riddler, a gentleman that hopes he stays in London, that being Desmond Ridder, Dustin Sweetelson, who's been a hater from the start. Dustin, welcome.
It's not personal. I don't want him to stay in London, but maybe he should try playing soccer. He might be better at that than throwing a football.
It could be over there at Tottenham. Maybe try out for Chelsea, who actually Monday Night Football in London today. Fulham and Chelsea just underway. Okay, so as we get started, boys, I mentioned just Monday night quickly, and then we'll get into kind of a recap back up to move forward from the NFL week that was on Sunday. But just quickly here, a big total, two terrible defenses. No offense, big guy. You had a mini bye the last time your Giants played against San Francisco on that Thursday night. So a little bit of a mini bye, but always the question coming into a game like this are the injuries, and there's a plenty. Of course, you've got your tackle and Thomas out for the Giants. Saquon is questionable. The big question for Seattle, the two tackles, the center, three starting cornerbacks. So questions all over the map for Seattle as far as injuries. But the one thing you look to, Amal, is they do have a bye next week. So if Carroll's going to take any chances with these players, it could be on a Monday night where you're looking at a bye for Seattle.
Yeah, I think it's a great point you bring up. You look at these teams right now, a bit decimated by injuries, particularly the Giants when you lose Barkley and Thomas on the offensive line. That's just too much of a blow at this point in time. Guys, I got to tell you, you expect it to be a more higher, a little bit higher scoring game with these two types of teams, especially neither team, especially the Seahawks, not great on defense. But when you look at the offensive line injuries, I don't know if they're necessarily going to be able to sustain those types of drives, something to pay attention to in this one. I'm a little bit surprised. I don't know where you come out of this one, Patrick. I'm a little bit surprised that this moved to Seattle minus two.
Yeah, it's 2.5 now as we take a look, and it's actually juiced on the 2.5, big guy. I don't disagree with them all. This has been quite a roller coaster ride as far as this number. Open Seattle 1.5. And then last week you had the Giants favored by a point. Now we've seen it swing back. We're showing 2, but everybody in the market right now is showing 2.5 with Seattle laying it again, juiced on the 2.5 over at DraftKings, Dustin.
Perhaps it's one Daniel Dimes and his record in primetime games impacting that and where the bets are coming in, because he's 1-12 in primetime lifetime, 0-6 on Monday Night Football, just 1-4 ATS in home primetime games. And the Seattle Seahawks are 4-0 in MetLife Stadium. So perhaps that has something to do.
Yep, not great. We have plenty. I've got a prop that I'm hunting for tonight. Two bad pass defenses. And again, as Amal mentioned, you've got a big time total with the 45.5 opener all the way up to 47, kind of dip back down to 46.5 in primetime. So we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But I mentioned the 10 teams with questions at quarterback, and I think we should start with the one most recent, and that was last night and the Jets. Zach Wilson and the Jets. Of course, the Jets moving into next year, of course, should have Aaron Rodgers. But the youngster and Wilson has been a point of contention for the Jets and that fan base for a while now. This was a fascinating game just because, as you take a look, 23-20 winner for the Chiefs, Amal. They close 7.5 on the night, but Chiefs backers were bitter as Mahomes with the goal line slide. They don't cover. Of course, the Jets do cover the 7.5, but they jumped out the Chiefs to a 17-0 first quarter lead. The Jets tied it up heading into the fourth at 20. The Chiefs field goal, and then I mentioned kind of that long drive where you can question some of the refereeing, some of the decisions made by the officials. But Mahomes had a clear path to the end zone, decides to slide, which was the at play and a 23-20 winner for the Chiefs. We'll get to Wilson and the quarterback questions for the Jets.
Yeah, first of all, if you're complaining about losing the game and you bet the Chiefs, why the hell are you laying a touchdown or more on the road? And second thing is he made the prudent play, as you alluded to. This, we saw Todd Gurley do this years ago. Teams have gotten a lot more vigilant about this. To me, it's a sound football play. And I think somebody might argue that, hey, Notre Dame should have done the same thing. No, they shouldn't have, because you had to execute a field goal to win the game. This was a scenario where you were leading the football game. And if you're surprised by this, you haven't been watching football long enough, give them a ton of credit. Well, I'll tell you what, Patrick, I turned this game off in the first quarter when it was 17-0. How about the fact that this Jets defense limits the Kansas City Chiefs to just 6 points the rest of the way, giving themselves an opportunity? You referenced the officiating. Very poor in that fourth quarter. Thought that interception call should not have been a penalty on that play. I thought Zach Wilson played very, very well. Quarterback rating was great, but overall, I thought they finally had a little bit of juice in this team offensively. They were trying to get the ball to Garrett Wilson. But again, I'm not sure if 1 week is enough to sit there and make you confident if you're a Jets team who's sitting at 1-3, and I still think this division is pretty open.
I totally agree. I don't think it's enough to be confident, not just on the team. I guess if you want to count a moral victory, they're 1-3. That's not going to get it done. But also on the young quarterback. If you listen to social media, all of a sudden Wilson was burgeoning into a young Joe Theismann. That's not the case. Like 28 of 39 against a defense that looked like pretty preventy at that point by the Chiefs. 245, two touchdowns. He outplayed Mahomes in the game. He was fine in the game. A lot of it, he wasn't taking many shots, but I mentioned the moral victories. Other side, the Chiefs, big guy, ugly, but it's a win. The real concern would be Zach Wilson kind of carving up that defense and also the receivers. Kansas City only had 7 catches for 65 by his wideouts. That's not going to get it done moving forward. That was a big question coming into the year.
Yeah, and I think from a betting perspective, the Chiefs are kind of a frustrating team to bet on. One, you're always going to be laying points. They're never going to be the underdog. But two, they win a lot of weird ways. You just can't figure out when they're going to cover the number and not. Obviously, like a week ago, we had the laugher against Chicago where they just put it on them. But they've struggled at times over the last couple of years. And it's interesting because it feels like they toy with the other team and they try some things out early. And sometimes that keeps the game closer than it should be. And eventually they figure out a way to win, not always covering the number. They're a team that I don't like to bet other than in the first half. But it has to be a very specific scenario. I got lucky yesterday that we covered in the first half, -4.5. But they're a weird team to back simply because of all that. You just never know what their motivation is week in and week out. And you mentioned Zach Wilson. This was him after the game taking some ownership for the loss, despite people saying he played well.
Yeah, that's on me. Critical situation. I can't have a play like that. I cannot drop the ball. And this team is sacrificing a lot. Guys were making plays. Defense was making plays. O-line was protecting. The receivers were making plays. And to be driving right there and to drop a snap, I cannot do that. I lost us that game and I cannot do that. And I was making it clear to those guys that I need to be better. I need to be better on the little things, the details. It can't happen.
Okay, so that's an about face. Last year, remember the 10-3 loss against the Patriots where he said, this has nothing to do with me. Now, he's 23 last year. He's 24 now. Question for you two, because that's one of the teams. I've got 10 with questions.
heading into next season. That's a third of the league, the most important position in all of sports. Do you see anything special with Wilson? Obviously, like if you were to compare Zach Wilson's arm talent to Mac Jones, like he has a much stronger arm. That's one thing. But I just, even just listening to him right there, go listen to CJ Stroud after the win and just the way that he presents himself, and then listen to Wilson. I think you're going to have issues with Wilson moving forward, Amal, because of the mental. And I don't think he's insanely talented where you point to the skills and say that's going to override.
I think it's a great point you bring up. I actually saw the entire CJ Stroud press conference yesterday after the game, and it is a different dynamic. When you look at Zach Wilson, look, we all appreciate taking ownership, but at the end of the day, this is a results business. You got to get a W. I don't care if you stand up there and say it's my fault, this guy's fault. It makes no difference. We all know, we all saw the football game, and this team has got to get better. The one thing I think that's frustrating, and a couple things need to be pointed out very quickly. Once again, Patrick, we talked about this last week. The Jets failed to score over 21 points with Robert Saleh as the head coach. There has been a number of games when you look at it so far. This is his 38th game as a head coach. They haven't even hit that mark in half the football games. I appreciate him taking, like I said, ownership, but this is, they've lost two games now by 8 points. They were both winnable games. If you tell me the New York Jets defense is going to limit the Patriots to 13 points and the Kansas City Chiefs to 6 points over three quarters, I'm telling you right now, what's the cap on the Jets money line bet?
I totally agree. You just wasted the best performance from a number two overall pick and a loss, and we're taking a lap around MetLife, big guy. I mean, it's embarrassing. And this is a Chiefs team with no wideouts that lost to Detroit at home to start the year. It's not invincible.
Zach Wilson is more talented than a backup, but he's not refined enough to be a guy you can rely on to start. He would have really benefited from the Jordan Love treatment.
Okay, that's one quarterback down of the 10. Up next, the Patriots got bludgeoned in Dallas. Mac Jones, you're up. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the VSIN 2023 NHL betting guide is out. The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting guide experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide. It features previews for all 32 teams, future bets, award picks, and, of course, season-long props, first-period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bet articles 5 days a week once the season starts. The guide is a must-have, with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season with the VSIN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSIN Pro subscriber today at VSIN.com/subscribe. I was just laughing thinking about Gary Bettman and his squad getting together. Okay, we got to attack the NFL. Here's what I'm thinking. This is a rough time to start your NHL season, okay? Because, I mean, you've got the Swifties hanging out in the boxes at MetLife with Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. And then you've got a product that if you look at the top 30 viewed across any metric, the top 30 viewed shows of the year, it's always going to be an NFL game. And here comes the NBA with a big trade over the weekend that didn't make a sound. If Drew Holiday gets traded during a college football Saturday, I'm not sure. And here comes the NHL. But here's one thing I can promise you. There's money to be made in the NHL. Amal Shaw is a big NHL bettor. So make sure you go to VSIN.com/subscribe to sign up. We welcome you back. It is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher. The boys, of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. So I mentioned, and yes, we are going to get to Tennessee coming up in just a bit. That's one of the teams that has a decision to make at quarterback, not just this year, but moving forward into next year. We started with the Jets. Okay, a little bit of a cheat because of the injury to Rodgers, but of course they do have a decision to make eventually with Zach Wilson. Let's move on to the next team, fellas, and that is the Patriots. So the Patriots got beat down 38-3 yesterday. And we've got Like, Love, Loathe coming up on the show. Maybe the Patriots are involved on a football Monday here on Sharp Money. But that's the biggest blowout of Belichick's career, 38-3. This is the third straight year the Patriots has started 1-3, fellas. It was ugly. You know, again, Mac Jones, 150 yards. He was pulled for Bailey Zappe. They were scoreless on their final 10 drives of the game. Just an inept, listless, spiritless effort from the Patriots on the road at the Cowboys. And we'll get started with not just the game in general. You see it closed Dallas 6, obviously an easy cover, stays under the 43, Amal Shaw. Let's start with the game and then we'll get to Mac Jones and his future.
Yeah, Dallas dominant. Look, coming off of a rough loss in Arizona, great bounce back spot for them. You know, I played the under in this game, but looking back on it, I should have just played the Dallas Cowboys. Less than a touchdown at home against a New England team that's got a ton of question marks when you realistically look at it. They scored 13 points. I'm not going to give them credit for the safety. That was the defensive play against the Jets. Against Philadelphia, they put up 20 points. Against Miami, they put up 17 points. So there's something that's not hitting its stride on the offensive side of the football. I think it's something to take into consideration when you look at the New England Patriots. So to me right now, this team's got a lot of question marks. You mentioned it. It starts and ends with Mac Jones. It just the inconsistency, three turnovers yesterday. And Patrick, I tell you what, the more and more you watch him, it just is evident there's a lack of confidence in the ability to push the ball down the field unless somebody's completely wide open.
I totally agree. The confidence is a great word to kind of frame Mac Jones because it's not crazy as far as the arm talent, but he's dealt with different systems. We've gone over the fact that he had a defensive coordinator running the offense last year. Bill O'Brien can run an offense, so that's not an issue this year unless you want to blame a new scheme. But just quickly on the Cowboys, that was a big bounce back after a loss to the Cardinals where they just did not look themselves. The defense, which was bad against the Cardinals, big guy scored two touchdowns. Dak with a pair of scores. They ran for 120. 24 yards and a touchdown. So again, the Patriots' strength coming into the year was the defense and the Cowboys. That legitimately was maybe their best performance of the year just because of the teeth they showed against a pretty good defense.
Yeah, and I know they lost, you know, a week ago to Arizona, but is there a chance this Dallas team could potentially be better than what we're seeing from Philadelphia right now in the NFC East and maybe in the NFC be that number two team right behind San Francisco? We're going to find out here shortly. But I love this Cowboys team. I love the defense, and I think they're a team that's going to get better as the year goes on.
The quarterback question. My assumption is they're already starting to grind. I think there are questions, obviously. I know you're not a huge Belichick guy. Obviously, Amal, the conversation surrounding he and Tom Brady will be one that is perpetual, obviously, in NFL circles. But there does seem to be the message isn't getting across. When the Cowboys are dropping 38 on you, and I know it's a couple of defensive scores, but that didn't look like an overly motivated Patriots team, and they obviously have to start figuring out what they're going to do at quarterback. This is year three for Mac. A decision will be made, and we're going to make the decision today as we're doing on Sharp Money. The decision will be made to move on.
I would agree with you completely. Look, even when he had a good season as a rookie, I still think he had a ceiling that was pretty low. It wasn't where you sit there and go, wow, this guy's got potential upside. You still needed players and pieces around him to build good offensive line, good running game, and solid to good receivers. You know, Kansas City's taken an approach. We have Patrick Mahomes. We can basically run anybody out there, and that's one of the reasons they didn't re-sign Tyreek Hill and traded him to Miami. And with Mac Jones right now, I think it's a situation where if you're New England, and I know Belichick won't dump the season, but man, you've got some quarterbacks coming up in the draft you've got to really start looking towards because the reality of it is Mac Jones, to me, in a great season feels like 10-7. In a bad season feels like 5-12. And generally speaking, is going to be somewhere in that 7-10, 9-8 type of season as things go, depending on the defense.
Is Mac Jones a guy, fellas, that if he was in the right system, a la the 49ers, who originally it was posited they were going to draft him, is he a guy that would be serviceable, a.k.a. Jimmy Garoppolo, get you to a Super Bowl, miss out on one long pass, potentially winning a Super Bowl? Or is he a guy that's not one of the best 32 on the planet?
He can be argued that he's one of the best 32, but I love the Jimmy Garoppolo comparison, and there's nobody who was more anti-Jimmy, and probably because of what he was being paid, but I don't think Mac Jones is in that same caliber. I think there's still a lot of plays that Jimmy Garoppolo makes that he deserves a ton of credit for. I just don't think Mac Jones can make them. When I look at him, he's a guy that he doesn't throw guys open necessarily, but more importantly, it just doesn't seem to have the moxie you want out of a quarterback. You know, Garoppolo, at least the teammates seem to respect and like him. I think there's some positives you take away with him. But when I see Mac Jones, I'm just like, man, if he didn't play at Alabama, we'd all be saying, who the hell is this guy?
Well, and I think that the Alabama thing is the best point about him, because I think he's kind of a cautionary tale of, there's other quarterbacks who've been similar in the past, but he's a cautionary tale for when you're evaluating a quarterback who comes from a team filled with NFL talent, especially on the outside, the way Mac Jones had to work with at Alabama, that there's a chance he's not the guy you think he is as a passer. Now, he probably has the ability to break down film and make reads at the line. He's probably solid and all of that, but talent-wise, there's nothing special about his skills as a quarterback, especially in today's NFL. He's not athletic. He's not mobile. He can't move around out there. He doesn't have a massive arm. He's decently accurate, but there's just nothing special about him. Maybe in the right system, but like, I still think there's a massive or really low ceiling on whatever team he goes to.
I got a special guy for you. It's not going to surprise the two of you, but I think if you're just tuning into Sharp Money, you're going to be like, whoa, you think that highly of this player coming up for this team next year? That's a little bit of a tease. We'll get to him coming up in just a bit. Will the Patriots have a new starter at a quarterback next year? The answer is absolutely yes. Yeah.
Well,
you're three, Mac Jones, this will be it. The Patriots will be starting a new quarterback. Yes or no?
Absolutely. And here's the other thing you have to look at, and it applies in the AFC South as well to Tennessee, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But if you are the New England Patriots and you look around, you see Josh Allen, you see Tua, and you see potentially Rodgers, are you really going to beat those teams with Mac Jones as your starting quarterback in six games a year?
No, sir. No, and the guy you were chomping.
It's similar to like the AFC West. You're going to win the AFC West, not be able to go shot for shot with Patrick Mahomes. You got to look around and you need a different type of weapon. Is it Bailey Zappe? Because there was questions because Mac Jones got pulled from the game. Here is Bill Belichick talking about replacing Jones with Zappe yesterday.
I don't think there was any point leaving him in the game.
And will he be starting next week against the Saints?
Yeah, just so there's no point leaving him in the game, Mike.
In that sense, I mean, do you think consider taking like Judon out on the other side, or, you know, like at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you gotta put somebody out there.
Okay, so just one thing, and then we're going to come back. No. You just mentioned the Titans.
No,
you can pull that down. I think they say SOS when you send for help. You say SOS. Yeah. For Bill Belichick, SSRI, send meds. Okay? That's an unhappy human. All I'm saying is raise the serotonin. It might be able to level off the unhappiness. Like, what is that? What are we even participating in? It's called life. Cheer up, bro. It's been worse. Not for the Titans at quarterback and not for the Atlanta Falcons. Am I right?
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and soccer bet with historical data and trends. Stop betting in the dark. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use the code WINNER to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning at Hall of Fame Bets right now. Okay, we welcome you back on a Monday, Football Monday. Of course, you've got Monday Night Football, MetLife, the Giants right now catching 2.5 with the Seahawks, whose offense scored 37 against Carolina, and preceding that, scored 37 against the Detroit Lions. Looks better now with the Lions playing very well defensively. You've got a total of 47, 46 and a half-ish on the Monday Night Affair coming up tonight. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. Got a little bit of a theme, as we generally do here on Sharp Money on a Monday, and that is quarterback questions, uncertainty at the most important position. I've got 10 teams I'm highlighting. It's not just today, but it's going into next year. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. Let's get back to it. So far, the Jets, we all agree Wilson's not the answer. We agree Mac Jones isn't the answer. Let's go to London. The Falcons, a loser, of course, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get into the ramifications as far as the betting. But quickly, Desmond Ridder. That is the question, because if you think about it, he threw for 72 yards, two picks in the first half. Ridder took Atlanta out of the game. You've got a 2-2 Falcons team, of course, to have to consider Taylor Heinicke at this point, because hopes of making the postseason relies. If you think about what happened after a couple of drives, that defense for the Falcons settled down, played actually very well against a Jaguar team that still trying to find its way, but a 23-7 loser, 3.5 on the closing number. Obviously the Jags cover. The question about Ridder and the question about quarterback next year for the Falcons, I think unequivocally we'll all say they're going to have to move on, and Ridder is not the answer, Amal.
I would agree with you completely, and you've mentioned it all along. You said it before the season started. At what point does Taylor Heinicke get the opportunity? And I think it's got to come sooner rather than later. Look, I can tell you right now, I heard somewhere this morning, somebody was suggesting Justin Fields to the Atlanta Falcons, and I know Falcons fans are like, hey, he's not an improvement. The reality of it is his mobility alone, and he's just got to make a few plays that will improve this offense. Drake London, it already appears to be at his wit's end. You've got an absolute bona fide superstar in the making in Bijan Robinson. We know what Kyle Pitts is. This team's got some talent. Arthur Smith, I don't know where you guys rank him, guys. Top three, top five play caller in the National Football League? He doesn't have the same talent. He doesn't have Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua. He doesn't have Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, and all these guys. Purdy missed one pass yesterday. So to me, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, you're in a division that's very salvageable. You're sitting at 2-2. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 3-1. Great opportunity to still make some headway and get towards the postseason this year.
You mentioned Drake London. The Riddler, Spencer, I keep on calling him the Riddler. Desmond Ridder, 19 of 31, 191, a touchdown, two picks. You saw, I'm sure everybody saw floating all over social. He went to dap up Mac Collins at some point during the game, and Mac Collins completely ignored him. So not great vibes from your supposed leader in the quarterback position. I know where you stand, but go ahead and enforce it. Desmond Ridder, the Falcons will move on, big guy.
Well, I mean, it's tough for, put yourself in Mac Collins' shoes, right? Every year in the NFL, you're judged off what you've accomplished. Really tough to catch balls that don't make it to you. It's a big issue for a guy like him. And by the way, Mac Collins is a big target. For you to miss him, you really got to be inaccurate. It's look, it's a long build, and maybe part of the build for Atlanta is knowing that Desmond Ridder's not the guy. You throw him out there to confirm he's not the guy, and in doing so, you end up with a draft pick where you can get a true franchise quarterback coming up in this next draft. And as you guys talked about, I mean, Arthur Smith, he is as good and creative a play caller as we have in the NFL right now. He's not from the McVay and Shanahan tree. He's kind of his own thing, but he certainly knows how to dial up an offense and get guys the ball and let them make plays. That, did you see the play Bijan made yesterday, one-on-one with a guy, and just juked him 4 million times till the guy hit the turf and ran up the field? Like, they have dangerous players on this offense, and you got a guy at quarterback who led a team that no one saw making the postseason a few years ago in Taylor Heinicke. You might as well just turn it over to him. You figure a guy like Smith can rein in some of the risks that Heinicke likes to take with the ball and put him in his system. There's no way he's not more successful than Desmond Ridder.
Fair enough. So that's another answer at the quarterback position for next year. Atlanta, new signal caller. Next up, how about Tennessee? So this one's interesting because Tannehill, who's 35 years old, the answer's already done. All right. He is on the final year of a 4-year deal. The Tennessee Titans will have a new signal caller next year. The question is, do they want who's left on the roster? Will Levis, we'll get to. Of course, Malik Willis, a 27-3 winner over the Bengals. We talked incessantly about the spot the Bengals were in with a banged up Joe Burrow who does not look himself. Short week. You come to the Titans, and the Titans dominated this matchup. Tannehill, the quarterback situation is the question, but how about that division? You look at the AFC South right now, everybody is 2-2, so it's there for the Titans to take. The question is, 18 of 25, 240, a touchdown, a pick, 11 rush yards for Tannehill. I don't know if there's really a question here. We can just also all admit Tannehill's going to be moving on. Where he ends up, we don't know. But the question is, does the Titans roster right now hold the future for next year, Amal Shaw?
No, it does not. Great question by you. And when you look around that division, you've got Anthony Richardson. What was he, the fifth pick in the draft? And then you've got, of course, C.J. Stroud in Houston and Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. You're going to need to go get a quarterback. If you're looking at a long-term stock, the AFC South is it with this quarterback play. And if you're Tennessee Titans, Nashville Titans, right now they don't have that quarterback on the roster. It's not Malik Willis. It's not Will Levis. I think this team's going to have to go into the draft. And Mike Vrabel is a guy who won 3 Super Bowls as a player. I think he knows what it takes for a quarterback, it doesn't have to be a Tom Brady type, but he knows he needs somebody that can help put some pressure on these defenses. They're too reliant on Derrick Henry and what he can do. By the way, one quick complaint about Lou Amarillo. Did you not know Derrick Henry was going to throw the halfback pass when there's 10 seconds remaining and they have no timeouts remaining?
Absolutely. That was a gross game. Every time I checked in on that one, it wasn't aesthetically pleasing. However, the quarterback position, when you draft Willis and then you come back and you draft Will Levis, the question is, what do you have there at quarterback, big guy?
Yeah, I think the concern for Tennessee, though, is that there's not a lot of weapons on that offense on the outside, right? That DeAndre Hopkins is there, and they're using him a ton to move the chains on third down right now. But they don't have a lot of dynamic playmakers outside of Derrick Henry on offense. So it's like, I think they're just squeezing whatever is left out of this run with Tannehill, Henry, and company. And we could potentially be on the verge of a full offensive rebuild maybe next year, maybe the year after. They're just trying to see what is left in the tank here because, let's be real, Derrick Henry's got a lot of miles on him. He's still going, but at some point he's going to need to go in the shop and get a quick fix or tune-up because that guy's been carrying the load for a long time. So with them, I could see Tannehill being back on like a one-year deal, one last run type thing if they don't get the quarterback of the future they want and they think they can contend. But it's almost over for this kind of group in Tennessee.
Look, I'm not a Tannehill guy, never have been. He couldn't beat out Gerard Johnson, at quarterback at Texas A&M. The reality of it is, though, if you were Atlanta, a guy like Tannehill, somewhere
that's enough.
Yep. 15 to 20 is enough. Patrick, I just keep bringing up Atlanta because we talked about Ritter, but also to me, that team's got some talent. We've seen Houston. We all wrote them off in the first 6 quarters of football, and then all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud found his confidence in the second half against Indianapolis, and this team's been playing great football for the last 10 quarters. And then you look at this Atlanta team and Tennessee, who's probably not going too far in this competitive AFC. But man, Atlanta, I get there are 4 teams in the top of the NFC, but if you go get a quarterback, your offense can create some real problems for opponents.
Well, and also,
I think Dustin's favorite rapper, Macklemore, said it best. One man's trash is another man's treasure. If Tannehill was with the Falcons, big guy, not bad.
Well, he would also make sense because he had his best years when Arthur Smith was calling plays for him. It makes a ton of sense, and you don't need him to do that much. Like, his limited abilities, although I got to tell you, that arm looks a lot different than it did when he was playing with Arthur Smith. I don't know if he could throw the ball 50 yards in the air right now.
Patrick, it's like me on this show. You guys just need me to be present. Dustin's going to snap the ball. You're going to call the plays. We're going to run it. I just need to run the route. I mean, come on, man. That's all I'm asking, Tannehill. Just show up. Get him to Atlanta. It's not that far from Nashville.
I'm way too athletic to be wasted as a center.
Well, all I know is this. The Bengals are a freaking mess. You saw Ja'Marr Chase after the game. He's like, I'm always effing open. Yeah. It's time to rest Burrow. He can't drive the ball down the field. Cincinnati's got 3 offensive touchdowns in 4 weeks. Burrow has been about as bad as it gets, which I never saw this coming because I think coming into the year, I would have said, maybe I'll take him 1 overall just based on what he's accomplished. But they're in major trouble. I don't know how they get out of this hole sitting 1-3. Of course, in that brutal division. Okay, so we all agree. The Titans will have a new signal caller next year. Up next, the Washington Commanders. Will they have a new quarterback next year? And also, how about Chicago? We continue. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings is back with another great week of football. It's keeping you in on the NFL action with great offers. Every single game day, new customers, here's the best offer. New customers over at DraftKings, download the app. You bet $5. How about tonight on Monday Night Football? You get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups and get $200 instantly. Football's just way more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with the code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with the code SHARP. DraftKings, the crown is yours. We're back. Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. Of course, Monday Night Football concludes week four. MetLife in Jersey. You've got the Giants, kind of a mini bye, waiting on Seattle. Seattle's offense is woken up. However, two defenses that have been terrible. You got a big total, 46.5, 47 tonight. 2.5 is the number with Seattle laying it. We've got plenty to do on that matchup coming up in just a bit. But I want to get to another one of our quarterbacks. Again, the theme on a Monday, always themed out here on Sharp Money. Quarterback questions, uncertainty at the position. These teams need to find out now and then next year, of course, what they're going to do at the position. And I must be taking crazy pills because the next guy up, I've watched one drive. Just pick a drive. I don't know. How about the last drive of the game in Philadelphia with the connection to Jahan Dotson? Sam Howell. Are you guys insane? You talked earlier, Amal Shaw, about Mac Jones not throwing receivers open. Well, Sam Howell does just that. And Mac Jones is 25 years old. Sam Howell is 23 years old. So let's get into the Commanders. A loss. You want to talk a moral victory? Okay. Philadelphia doesn't cover the number, but an overtime winner, 34-31 over the Commanders. An excellent performance by the Commanders. Sam Howell, who rebounded from last week's terrible performance, 290 yards, including a touchdown to Jahan Dotson, I mentioned, with no time on the clock to force overtime. That was, to me, an awesome performance, not just by the team, but by the quarterback, because he's probably right now, boys, playing behind the worst offensive front in all of football. He was sacked 19 times over the first 3 weeks, six more than anybody else. Okay, you want to blame the 23-year-old for some of those sacks, but we would all agree the Commanders' offensive front stinks. He was sacked 5 times against the Eagles, but the crisis across the offensive line isn't kind of dispiriting Sam Howell, who bounces back from 4 picks against Buffalo and plays great against the Eagles.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This team needs an offensive line. Nicholas Morrow had 3 sacks yesterday. You guys are all saying, who? Yeah, that's exactly right. Nicholas Morrow with 3 sacks. This team, if they can improve the offensive line, I don't know where you guys come out on Brian Robinson. Josh Jacobs runs hard, but guys, I don't think there's a harder runner in the National Football League than Brian Robinson. That guy runs tough. And then you mentioned how, what he's been able to do. I didn't even get into Hal Patrick because for me, he's a definitive starter for them. Barring injury or an egregious fall off a mountaintop, this guy has played very well. I think he puts Washington in a good position to be effective and to really go out there and compete. They're sitting at 2-2. And this team right now could just as easily be 3-1. You know, give Nick Sirianni credit. They rolled the dice on the rough. I think it was a roughing the passer call. That moved the ball half the distance to the goal on the extra point. So instead of kicking the PAT, they went for two, get it. And then we end up in overtime. By the way, I just want a quick proposal for you guys. My plan is, if I were a head coach, I would say instead of going for two, what about an onside kick from the 50-yard line? Worst case scenario, you're giving up 15 yards. And with this offense, you'd love to have an extra shot with the ball. But overall, I kind of ignored your point on Sam Howell because for me, it's not even a conversation. He is your starter in Washington. I think they've got a quarterback.
2-minute drive to tie it up on the road. Maybe the toughest stadium to do so at Philly, big guy. To Amal's point, Washington, the Commanders actually outrushed the Eagles, which is impressive here. We'll get into the call from Rivera not to go for two and whether or not you two would have done so. But we're talking quarterbacks. Do the Commanders have the starter next year under center?
He has earned the right through 4 games to get the shot for next year and to be the guy. And what's interesting about him, too, is I think Bieniemy likes him. I think Bieniemy's learning how to use him properly, and we're seeing it every single week. And you guys mentioned the O-line. It's tough to really grade some of his failures because I'm not sure they're all on him at the moment. But Sam Howell, through these 4 games, you got to keep in mind, he did this to an Eagles defense that is elite. great pass rush, really, really good secondary that makes all sorts of mistakes turn into turnovers. They're a really good defense. I like what I've seen out of him, and I think if they end up adding a couple O-line pieces in the offseason, this is a scary team. The only question for me is, does Eric Bieniemy somehow become the head coach, not the offensive coordinator, because they won't want to lose him at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, what's going on with Bieniemy during these interviews for head coaching positions has been quite a mystery. It's like Da Vinci Code. But we do know that the offense clicking yesterday after a bad performance against Buffalo. Buffalo we'll get to in a bit. But, you know, I mentioned Mac Jones is 25. Kenny Pickett's 25. We can go on. And Sam Howell's just 23. Second year. But he's young coming out of North Carolina. And I think just the bounce back from an atrocious performance against Buffalo, going to Philly, fellas, and playing as well as he did. He was better than Hurts yesterday, in my estimation, watching the game. And he's just a dude. He can run a little bit as well. And Amali's a guy that when he gets hit, he doesn't seem to be phased. He's just kind of a straight line dude that I think is potentially the future there with the Commanders.
Yeah, that's one thing you have to point out. When he was at Carolina, he had great toughness, and he's continued to show that here. Look, he had a bad game against Buffalo. They fell behind. It became an avalanche. He wound up with four INTs. But he's a young quarterback. You're going to have bad games throughout. Probably not a four INT game, but that's just one along the course of the way. And by the way, guys, after the first couple of drives, Buffalo's defense made Miami Dolphins look pedestrian. So no shame in that. I think you're building around a great piece. You've got a great trio at receiver between McLaurin, Dotson, and Curtis Samuel, Brian Robinson, the tailback. Defense is pretty good. A rare Chase Young sack yesterday. I mean, this team seems like it's going in the right direction. And when you look at the NFC East, yes, it's very competitive. But overall, three teams in the NFC make the wild card. Right now, for my money, let's just assume one of the wild cards are Dallas or Philadelphia. It doesn't matter which one you choose. But yeah, I look at this team right now with the Washington Commanders. They're probably the fifth or sixth best team in the NFC. Maybe the Seattle Seahawks are right there, or the Rams, but they've got a great shot to be able to make the playoffs.
And conversely, boys, to your point, the Eagles have been far from perfect. Hurts is not playing at that 2022 level, Dustin, but yet they're 4-0. So scary for the rest of football is the way I'd put it. If you're Sirianni, is there a better situation than not playing well and sitting 4-0 with a chance to build and a message to come to the training ground with? And obviously week in, week out over 18, is there a better message than we can get better? I don't think so.
No, it's a great point. Actually, AJ Brown talked about it after the game, understanding that it's a climb for them throughout the season to get better and better and to be playing their best football later in the year. Here's what he had to say.
We're still putting it together. Nobody wants to be playing their best football right now, you know, but we're still striving each and every day to fix the little things and you know, and head in the right direction. Like I said, we don't want to play. We want to play good. Don't get me wrong. We want to play really well, but we don't want to play our best football right now in October. You know, these are moments that we're learning from. These are experiences that we're learning from. There was a game in overtime that if it happens again, nobody will blink because we're put in these tough situations. So, you know, it's a learning experience. However, like we're 4-0, like Nick just said in the locker room, we didn't win every way, you know, these four games, you know, and we're still striving to put our best out there.
Okay. Always good to have AJ happy. 20 targets or whatever it was will do that. Next week when he doesn't get them, he'll be in a bad mood. That's tough with wide receivers. And by the way, that touchdown pass to AJ Brown on the double move over Forbes, the youngster out of Mississippi State, you can't be throwing a deep ball there. The touchdown doesn't really help you if you're Philadelphia. He left so much time on the clock for the Commanders to come back and tie it up. I didn't understand the play call. However, AJ Brown played well.
You're right about that. And I'll tell you what, I was wrong when they acquired him from Tennessee. I didn't think he was this good of a receiver, but he's been great. Devontae Smith had a couple of tremendous catches in this one. But overall, guys, for me, Washington, they've got a lot to take away in a positive way. Patrick, you posed a question before we went to break. Would you have gone for two? I personally agreed with the decision by Rivera. Now, it doesn't look great because they lost the football game, but I thought they were in this game all the way through and might have been the better team for 60 minutes of this game.
Let's hear from Ron Rivera, who talked about whether or not to go for two and win the game with no time left in regulation.
Yeah, but you know what? Those guys, you know, they were gassed. They really were. I mean, it was a long-ass drive. They were hurrying. They're hustling. You know, I really thought, you know, we had the chance, you know, and that's too bad.
Okay, so Ron Rivera, who says things that are questionable, said the boys were gassed. So you know what he chose over going for 2 point and gaining 2 yards? Going to overtime and playing 10 extra minutes.
No, I think he's talking about the Philadelphia defense.
No, he was talking about his offense being gassed.
Yeah, he was talking about his offense.
That's why he didn't go for two.
Yeah.
We'll come back and further discussion. Also, Tampa Bay, do you have the quarterback of your future?